you, Alice. So, as we're right now heading towards the end of Hanukkah, and we are in that special season of the year, there are more and more people that are coming to this realization, or people are sort of being more honest with themselves, that Yeshua was not born on December 25th. So again, people are either coming to the realization or they're being honest with themselves when they do hear about this fact. But to go one step further, that Christmas never was a biblical holiday, not even a feast, but a holiday that was ever mentioned, and that it got its date, to go even just a little bit deeper, and we're going to stop right there, from the festival of Saturnalia, which was the feast that was honoring the god Saturn, and it was December 25th. But this isn't part of our message. I just wanted to open with that this morning. Because Hanukkah is my message this morning, but a message that I have titled, It's More Than a Festival of Lights. So, as I gave some good biblical evidence of Yeshua's birth at Sukkot, and that was actually, and I'm going to give you the, I looked it up, you can go to the Kol Mashiach website. On September 22nd, I gave a message called The Gatherer, and it was during the week of Sukkot, and I gave the message, and I gave the biblical evidence that shows us that Yeshua was born on Sukkot. So if you weren't here with us, or if you're out there on the internet listening, you can go to that message and hear about it. But this morning I want to further develop this concept this morning. And to do that, I want to develop the entire portion of not just Yeshua's birth, but going back 9 months to Yeshua's concept, conception, the actual conception of Yeshua, and according to the Hebrew calendar. So today, as I said, we call Hanukkah the Festival of Lights. It's one of the names that we have given it for ages. It's not only known as the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah meaning dedication or rededication, but it has always been known as the Festival of Lights. And although that first Hanukkah happened in between the writing of the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, and although it was 200 years, maybe a little bit less, before the birth of Yeshua, we know that it's not a feast, and we always remind ourselves it's not one of the seven feasts. However, as a festival that we celebrate in Judaism and in Messianic Judaism, we know that it is a biblical festival, because we know that Yeshua celebrated it, and most of you know it, but let's put it up on the screen this morning. John 1, verses 22 and 23. Now it was the Feast of Dedication, and Feast of Hanukkah. Dedication is Hanukkah. in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Yeshua walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. So he was there. And he was there because it was this special time of Hanukkah. What's interesting is, you know, it's almost as if God knew that there might be questions about this. And so, well, it was a feast of dedication. And so maybe to sort of squelch the idea, some people would say, but there are other feasts that we dedicate things. He was specific to say, and it was winter. So it wasn't a feast of dedication in the spring. It wasn't a feast of dedication in the summer. It was a feast of dedication, and it was winter. And so we know if people would go back and look at the Hebrew, and then we would know that it is the feast of Hanukkah, and it was winter. And it is at that time that he revealed himself, which I think is pretty significant, as Messiah at that time. So let's go to verses 24 and 25 of John 10. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Yeshua answered them and he said, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me." Now, there are people, and I know there are people that say, he never said he was the Messiah. Well, we don't have the words recorded, and we don't have him saying, and Yeshua took a step forward and said, "I am the Messiah, here I am." But if we read this again, they asked him, "Are you the Messiah? Don't keep us in doubt anymore." In other words, people, they were knowing, they were suspecting, they were seeing what he was doing. They knew that he was doing the things that Messiah and only Messiah could do. And so they say, "Don't keep us in doubt. And if you are the Messiah, tell us." And he answered, "I told you." So he told them. He told them. He says he told them. "And you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me." They bear witness to me. They bear witness that I am the Messiah, the Son of God. And so it is, sort of significant that it happened at this time. So if God has control of all time, and if Yeshua's death and birth and resurrection all occurred on God's appointed times, can we believe then that Yeshua and his entire life cycle took place on significant days according to God's calendar? So this is what I want you to consider this morning. So Sukkot is on the 15th of Tishrei. And Hanukkah is on the 25th of Kislev. We know that a normal birth, from conception to birth, takes between 259 and 294 days. The average is 270 days. So we say that we always talk about a pregnancy takes 9 months. So if we go from Sukkot, 15 Tishrei, to Hanukkah, 25th Kislev, and we go back, what do we have? See, we have 285 days. So Hanukkah came 285 days before Sukkot. Oh, they're having their Hanukkah party in there. So they're having a good time today, right? Okay. So it makes perfect sense in God's calendar that Yeshua was conceived at Hanukkah. We know that according to God's calendar. And we know that he was born on Sukkot. So this is my evidence this morning, and I'm going to go with that. that he was conceived on Hanukkah, the festival of lights, which gives us a much greater understanding of what we read in this scripture, John 1, with a couple of verses here, 1, 2, and 5, that he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. I'm going to stop right there because, and then we'll go on to, because it was the Word, but the Word was not an it. In other words, it wasn't the Word. It wasn't even, it wasn't the Torah. It wasn't anything written. It wasn't an it was in the beginning with God. It was he was in the beginning with God, because the Word is a he, a person. So he was in the beginning with God, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There's an interesting thing, and I've read this, actually, I read this about a year or two ago, and there were a few articles about this, that scientists have found that when an egg and a sperm, and when a sperm and egg come together, there is a flash of light, so to speak, that happens when the, and it has to do something with the zinc coating on the egg. I'm not really sure what it is, but something, there is some kind of a energy created, and it comes as sort of like a spark of light. If they could, and they did this with animal sperm and egg, and that when they come together, there is a light that is perceived. And so let's go John 8:12, and then we're going to read John 12:46. Then Yeshua spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light, the light of life. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So now we put this all together, and we see if in fact he was born or conceived on Hanukkah, he truly is the light of the world. God is light. Why do we say that? Because in him there is no darkness. Where God's presence is, there is not darkness. And so when we encourage people to try to fill your life as much as you can with the Spirit of God and with God in your life, instead of going out and getting other things, because if there are other areas, sometimes the darkness tries to consume and drive out even the light. And God is trying desperately to drive out the darkness. Okay, go ahead, you can go on again. And in our lives, we know where there is light, there is a clear vision. Because if you don't have light in a room, you cannot see. You can put that with all the other lozenges there, thanks. When you don't have light in the room, you can't see. You don't have vision. And if there is an end of, if you're looking at a target, so to speak, and you're looking for something in your life to go to, if you don't have light, you can't see far enough away to see what's at the end of where you should be heading. And so where there is light, there is clear vision. And so Yeshua called himself the light of the world, because he was bringing light to the world. And the end of that road and that journey, God hopes, would be eternity with him, eternity with the Father. And we, as believers in Yeshua, are to bring that light to the world. The light that came to the world. And he gives us that little bit of spark in our lives. The spark of the Ruach is in our lives. And then we are to bring that light to the world so that they could see clearly and understand who God the Father and who Yeshua and who God's Spirit truly are. And we are called to shine. We are called to truly be that light of the world. So let's go to Philippians 2, 14, 15, and 16. And Shaul wrote to the Philippians, do all things without complaining and disputing. Maybe I'll just stop here and that's the end of my message. Thank you and Shabbat Shalom. Do all things without complaining and disputing, please, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. He is telling them, you are shining the light of Yeshua in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Messiah, that I have not run in vain or labored in it. So please, I don't want to think at some day I've been just doing this in vain. That people are truly bringing the light to the world. I mean, I rejoice when I see people come to know the Lord. I rejoice in it. And I know sometimes it's not me. And as a matter of fact, even if I help bring someone to the Lord, I know it's not me. It's God's Spirit. It's that spark of God's Ruach in me that is shining through and is working on that person. And so he just lays it out to them that I want you to shine to this perverse generation out there as a light to the world. You see, he wants you to shine. He doesn't say, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you are pointing your fingers at. He wants us to shine our light, to show them the good example of what it is to know the Lord. We are to shine the light. We are to shine that light, and that light is, in fact, Yeshua. We are called to shine. And three of the four Gospels, and when you see, you know, we know the Gospels will differ many times. Things will be looked at and spoken of in different, little bit different angles and stuff. But, you know, when you see something recorded in three or four of the Gospels, you know, really it's something we should at least, you know, sit up and take notice. So here we have, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have Yeshua's recorded words, and this is what he said. I'm getting close because I had to make it small fonts. He said in Matthew, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. But on a menorah, it is given light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And Mark, he says, and he said to them, is a lamp brought to be under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a menorah? And in Luke, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he sets it on a menorah that those who enter may see the light. Menorah in English is lampstand. That is the Hebrew word for lampstand, a menorah, or as we say in the Ashkenazi word, menorah. But it is. That's what it is. And so Yeshua plainly says, listen, let your life, your light and your life shine as a menorah. Don't hide it. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't put it in a bushel basket. Don't put it under a bed. Don't cover it. People are to see it. This is because he wants us to show the light of Yeshua. He doesn't want us to hide it or smother it. I'll give you a couple more scriptures here. 1 Peter 2, 9, and 10, and then Ecclesiastes 2, 13. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Who once, not a people, but now the people of God, who had not ordained mercy, but not have obtained, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And Ecclesiastes said, then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. So here's a little parallelism here, that wisdom is much greater than folly. It's great to have a great time, but when it's time for us to get serious, we need to get serious. I like to have a good time. I like to joke. People know that, I think. I like to do those things, but when it's time to get serious, I want to get serious. And so wisdom excels folly just as light excels darkness. And it's a wonderful example because we have times in our life, we have darkness. We need darkness. We have to sleep at night. It's hard to sleep when the lights are on. So God gave us darkness because we need that darkness of time of rest. And we know that there are a lot of times that God will sometimes allow us to be in areas that there is some darkness because he wants to learn things. He wants us to learn how to get out of that darkness into the light. And so it makes us stronger. But the fact is that light excels the darkness. So this Hanukkah, you don't have to answer me. What did you do with your Hanukkah at your house? Did you put it in the window so the whole neighbor could see it? Anyone that drives by? Sometimes people, they don't want to, you know, we don't want people to think we're Jewish. They don't want people to see that menorah lit. And in the same way, some people, they don't want people to know what we believe. Better not to, you know, let's not, you know, rock the boat. It's not like you have to go in there charging and pointing a finger, but it's okay to let people know what you believe and who you believe in. Maybe if the Lord is prompting that person, they will at one time come to you and say, you know, I got a question for you. I'm going to tell you a little story. I think people have heard this story before, but I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell it again. It's a short one. I have a friend, good friend of mine, who we went to chiropractic school together, and I won't mention his name, but he. So Diane and I gave our lives to the Lord, and he somehow knew about it. I think he knew about it because there was a small circle of some chiropractors. They were all Jewish, and they were all believers. And somehow he knew that we were believers. We would go to a conference once a year, big national conference, for our license renewal, and he was there every year, and we were there every year, and I knew him. We were good friends in school, and we were good friends when we got out of school. But then all of a sudden, at the next conference, he's walking down the hall, and I'm walking down the hall. He's walking down the hall, and he literally crossed over to the other side of the hallway to pass me. Literally went out of his way to be on the other side of the hallway so he wouldn't have to cross me or say hello to me. We were friends for years. And this went on for a couple of years. And we were at a hotel at a license renewal thing down in South Florida. And I remember I was in the pool that day and I was just hanging out at the pool in the afternoon between our sessions. And he came up to me and I said, hi. And he came up to me and these were his opening words. He said, Alan, He said, "Can I ask you a question?" "Sure." And we stood there for at least a couple of hours. And he asked me some questions. I answered the questions. And then I told him why I believe what I believe and why it was important for him to believe what he believes. So why do I tell this? Because if you keep this person in prayer, you don't have to rush at them like a raging bull. If you keep them in prayer and let God do the work, keep it in prayer, and hopefully they will come to the point where even, well, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you about this thing, which I certainly invited? At least he was going to ask me. We'd have some dialogue about it. So here's the thing. God says, be a light. And I have done this in the lines because people will say to me, if I've been in the prayer line that day, people will say, I'm going to meet our family. We haven't seen some of our family in years. Could you just pray for me when I go? Because none of them are believers. And I will pray with them. And this is what I pray. Lord, when they walk into that room, may they be a light. Let the light of Yeshua just be around them. That when they walk in that room, they see and they look, there's something different about them. And they don't even know what it is at first. But let them be attracted. Be attracted to the light of Yeshua. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't be afraid to shine. And this is a good time of the year because some of you are going to get together with family that you haven't gotten together for maybe a year or two or three. Don't be afraid to shine. It's time when that spark of the Ruach, that spark, the same spark that entered Miriam, that supernaturally fertilized Miriam's egg, that the conception of Yeshua, that same spark of the Ruach is the same spark in us. Can you believe it? 2,000 years later? And it began a process that changed the world from that day on. That's the same spark in our lives. So let's continue. And continue this Hanukkah. We have a few days, but we got a holiday that people are celebrating. Let them celebrate. But you be a light, the light of Yeshua, and ready, willing, and able to bring the truth to anyone that would want to know what is so different about you. And they may not even see the light, but their spirit is going to sense the light. And so at this time, let's all be a light of Yeshua, the light that he called us to be. And hopefully we'll be blessed by seeing our friends and family and loved ones and people that we meet come to know the Lord. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone.